John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. This is probably the most well-known scripture in the entire Bible. There's a thing in the Telegraph about forecasts for next year, 2015, and it said, conclusion was that the only certainty about next year is that it would be uncertain. We're dealing with certainties in the Glad Tidings, and I'll just detain you briefly tonight in the hope that no one will go out of this room in any doubt or uncertain about what God is offering in the Glad Tidings. In any doubt that they need what God is offering in the Glad Tidings. Because there are certainties in this verse of Scripture. And one of the first things, and indeed the whole point of the verse, is that persons are perishing. Perishing. So there's a great need in the hearts of persons tonight in the world. A great need in your heart, dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You're in a position of being lost. That's the point of this verse. That God doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want you to perish. But you have to realize the deep need that you have as a sinner. That's the first thing. The gospel would bring convicting power into your heart. You know, oh, that your heart, would your attention would be engaged by the word tonight. You know, the Lord Jesus was particularly able to arrest persons' attention. You know, I'll have to read John 4. And you see the way that he engaged with that woman and got her attention. I'd like to get your attention in the Glad Tidings tonight, that you'll realize that you are a sinner and you need a Saviour. And there's a Saviour provided for you. That's one of the certainties of this verse, you know. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How do I know that? Because the scripture tells me that. And it's confirmed. Because death has overtaken every person that ever lived here. Every person has been overtaken by death. Even Methuselah eventually was overtaken by death. My Saviour was not overtaken by death. He was not. It's been well said that your death is a consequence of your life. His death was the purpose of his life. That's why he came, to give his life for you and for me. So if he hadn't have given up his life, he would never have died. Death had no claim upon him. But it has a claim upon you and I, every one of us. But you know, death will afford you no refuge from the judgment of God. As men hope that death is the end. It's most certainly not the end. Because after death, the judgment. That's the scriptures. It's God's word. We can trust God's word. And you know, it's especially affecting to my heart that these words that we've read are the words of the Lord Jesus. Now they can be trusted absolutely. You go through scripture and see the words of the Lord Jesus, and you can rely upon them. Persons say, you know, that there isn't a hell, because a God of love would never commit anybody to eternal judgment. Well, the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than anybody else. There is most certainly a hell. And those who are perishing will find themselves there. And God doesn't want that to happen, you know. There's a very solemn scripture, and we read it yesterday morning in Revelation, about a great white throne. And Christ is on that throne, not as a saviour, but as a judge. If you don't meet him tonight as a saviour, make no mistake, one day you'll meet him as a judge. You know, I often think of Pilate, you know, as he stood there with Christ before him. Think of the audacity of sinful man putting the Saviour on trial and knowing that he was innocent. I find no fault in this man. Was Pilate ever saved? We don't know. We're not told. But what a witness he had, who witnessed before Pontius Pilate the good confession. There was no man had a witness like Pontius Pilate. But if he never came to Christ, he'll stand before him one day. And so will you. So will every person. We shall all be manifest the judgment seat of Christ. That's not penal. That's for believers. But the great white throne is for unbelievers. The dead gave great and small. The sea gave up its dead. You know, you will not find a refuge in death. You know, that remarkable memorial that there was in the Tower of London. I don't know if anybody here saw it, but I never saw it. I just saw pictures of it. But it was quite remarkable. The over 800,000 men who lost their lives in the Great War. And some of them, many of them I suppose, were never found. Just missing. God knows where they are. He knows. How many of these men came to Christ in their dying moments? I don't know. God is able for these things. But anyway, God knows where they are, and they will all be raised. You know, no person will remain in death. It says in that scripture that death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. God brought in death to limit man's life, sinful man's life, and as a punishment for sin, and he'll do away with it completely. And every person that's gone into death will come out of death. Those who know Christ to everlasting blessing with him. And those who've refused Christ to judgment. How solemn then. But you know, the great thing is that death will not separate you from the love of God expressed in Christ Jesus. And so we're all sinners and we all need a Saviour. And God knows that. And we're all helpless. We can't do one thing to help ourselves. We're all like the man on the Jericho Road, you know, descended, didn't he? Descended. Think of the descent of man. Down and down and down. Until Calvary's cross, was there ever a lower point in the history of mankind? Calvary. Man on the Jericho Road was left for dead, completely helpless. Now you may criticise the priest and the Levite, if you will, but they had no resources to meet the man's needs. Certain Samaritan journeying, going to Calvary, that's where Christ was going, comes on the man. Coming up to him. No one has gone lower than Jesus. Pouring in oil and wine. He had the resources that the man needed. He has the resources that you as a sinner need tonight. He has the resources. priest can't forgive your sins, you know. What a lie. Priests can't offer forgiveness. Only Jesus, who bore these sins in his own body in the tree, can liberate you from the guilt of your sinnership. The next thing is that God loves you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. So loved. It expresses the depths of divine love that was in the heart of God for his creature that was lost and far from him. Because sin is against God. It's what it is. And man was excluded from the Garden of Eden because he was a sinner. Because he disobeyed God. And there was no way back for him. Just as there's no way back for you and I. Apart from divine intervention. No way back. Flame of a flashing sword set to guard the way to the tree of life. Thank God. The way to the tree of life has been opened up. Sword went through the soul of my Saviour to open up the way to the tree of life. Think of the blessed God loving his creature but not able to express that love. Finding no way that he could convey it to man. Think of the Lord Jesus saying these words and knowing that he had come with the responsibility of conveying God's love to men. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. What did man do? He rejected him. Joy of heaven. How affecting, you know, to think of the part from the incoming of Jesus, there was no way that God's heart of love could be expressed. That he gave his only begotten Son. Think of the divine affections, you know. Think of what existed between the Father and the Son. Think of that communion that had never been interrupted, you know. Think of what he appreciated of the communion with the Father and his pathway here. We've spoke of his ear being opened morning by morning. How vital that was to my Saviour as he took these steps to Calvary. How he was conscious of the Father's love, you know. But how he was conscious of a time when he would be forsaken. If sinners ever were to know the depths of love divine. Oh, Calvary's weakness and its woe. Blessed Saviour, must be thine. You ever thought of what it took to express the heart of God? What it involved for Jesus? The suffering and the shame and the agony of Calvary was what it took to express the heart of God to sinners such as you and I. We couldn't have appreciated how God felt about us and how he desired to bless us and how he had no righteous basis of doing so, because God cannot overlook sin. All these sacrifices in the old economy, they couldn't take away sin. They could only look forward to the time when Christ would offer himself without spot to God. Have you ever thanked Jesus for doing that? God commends his love to us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Speaks volumes. The love of God, you know. The depths of divine love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How precious was Christ to the blessed God. Prefigured in Abraham, you know, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, That's the first mention of love in the Bible. We offer him up for a sacrifice. And Abraham went all the way, didn't he? In obedience to God's word, even raising the knife to slay Isaac. God said, "Abraham, Abraham," stopped him, you know. There it was, a ram caught in the thicket. My Saviour wasn't trapped. He was held by his love. That's what he was held by. That's what held him all the way to Calvary. That's what held him through the suffering. That's what held him through death. His love for you. His love for me. His love for the will of his God and Father. Apart from divine intervention, there was no hope for any one of us. Because of his great mercy, because of his great love, being rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, Paul came to realize that the person he was doing much against was the one who loved him and gave himself for him. That was Jesus. We met him on the Damascus Road. You'll meet him in Worthing tonight. Christ is available for you, my friend, if you'll but come through repentance and put your faith and trust in him. Mercy, you know. God, we present a God who's rich in mercy. Mercy anticipates some great need in your heart, you know. And grace is the sentiment in the heart of God to meet that need. Wonderful, isn't it? Another has said, you know, that grace is how God deals with us on account of who he is. And mercy is how God deals with us in spite of who, of what we are. You know, we deserve nothing but judgment. But through this marvellous gift, we are offered the most wonderful blessing. That whosoever, isn't that marvellous? The gospel is going out to whosoever tonight. There is no one in the world tonight out with the pale of salvation. God's heart is out towards all. Includes you, my friend. He wants to bless you. Whosoever believeth on him. It's a way of salvation. This is it. How do you get to heaven? The word went along the trenches. How do you get to heaven? No wonder these men were terrified. Death was a daily occurrence for thousands. How do you get to heaven? The word came back, John 3:16. Somebody knew. Should not perish, but have life eternal. Why? Because Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. What a Saviour Jesus is, you know. These 3 hours of darkness will never fully appreciate what he did for us. What it took, the cost, you know. The cost was immense. It was paid in full by precious blood. That's what God required. The blood of a sinless victim. Jesus was the only one who could take it on. He offered himself without spot to God. You can go free tonight in the sure and certain knowledge that every one of your sins was laid upon Jesus. You know, you need to remember that sin is not forgiven. Sin is judged. Sin was judged by God through the Lord Jesus. It was judged in his own Son. Sins are forgiven, and everyone was born by Jesus. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have peace in your heart tonight if you thought there was one sin that he never knew about. Mm-hmm. But he knew, he knows about everyone. He knew everything about the woman in John 4. Mm-hmm. every detail of our lives. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking as you sit in your seat. You know, you stand before Christ completely exposed. Not to anybody else, but to yourself. That was the effect that he had upon persons. You stand exposed. He can see right into your heart. He knows where you are. He knows whether you love him. He knows whether you want to open your heart tonight. If you've put it off, don't put it off any longer. Time is running out. We're living in a world when that which is obnoxious to God is being celebrated. That which is abnormal is being treated as normal. This is the world in which we are. It's headed for judgment. And if you're without Christ, you'll go with it. Come to Christ tonight. Don't put it off any longer. Should not perish, but have life eternal. Does that mean you'll simply live forever? It's far more than that, you know. Something you can enjoy now. Eternal life. It's life according to God. Because if you're without Christ, you're dead, you know. Dead, as far as God's concerned. But when you come to Christ, you're made to live. Live according to God. And you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And therefore you have a resource within you that springs up into eternal life. And you're brought into a relationship with a God as the Father. One who loves you. One who cares for you. And this is the eternal life, the Lord said. That they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Spirit is the earnest of these things. Eternal life is to be enjoyed now. Not when we get to glory, you know. The word, the phrase eternal life will have no force at all in eternity. It's just life. It's life according to God. Think of going tonight from not perishing to having eternal life. You know, the lawyer, he wanted to live forever. And things here, he had a very good life. And he thought if only that could be perpetuated. But you know, think of the misery in the hearts of many in the world tonight. Think of that poor woman who watched her father and mother and daughter crushed under that bin lorry in Glasgow. Think of that poor woman. Think of the misery in the hearts of many tonight. Maybe there's misery in your heart if you don't have Christ. I wouldn't like to be in your shoes for one moment. Without Christ, without hope. Oh, dear friends, come tonight. Come before it's too late.
Amen.